Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. Let's get to our guests because we have got a lot of good things to talk about today. So, Kevin Grossman, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. What was that dissonance? What was that dissonance that I heard at the beginning of the show? What was that?
That was for the young people.
Yeah. Okay, that was for the younger kids.
That was for
all the kiddos.
This is the music for the kiddos.
Whiskey, weed, and eggnog. I think that was propping that up.
That was the green maroon discussion, and then we went into the new kind of retro punk thing. There you go.
Yeah, we tried to never make it out of the green room. Let's be honest. That's quite
yeah. I hear you on that. Absolutely.
The green room is the new black.
Yeah.
There you go. happy friggin' holidays. There we go.
Cool. Well, Kevin, introduce yourself to our family of listeners, and then we'll kick it.
Hey, so thanks, guys and gentlemen and folks out there in drive-thru HR lunch land. Kevin Grossman, and currently my day job is with the wonderful talent management software company called PeopleForce, and where I'm the director of product and content marketing. And we've had a banner year at the Baileys, as they say, and we can touch on that later on in the show, too. Also the co-founder of another radio show, of course, not competitive of all to you guys, called T-Chat, Talent Culture T-Chat with Megan Bureau, M. Bureau, that is. And that's what I do on the side, as well as writing and working on book number two, and happy to be here in the holiday time with you gentlemen.
Awesome. Hey, give us the PeopleFluent update. A lot of folks that have been tracking the space for a long time. This is a wonderful company. Might not be on everyone's radar, but should. Give us what do you do? What is PeopleFluent? If you could kind of give us a synopsis, what do you all attack in the marketplace?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, to kind of give a little bit of historical perspective, because some PeopleFluent may not resonate with a lot of folks, but when they hear names like Authoria and PeopleClick, those still click in the minds of folks that have been around in a long time, especially practitioners that have been using different systems. Those were two companies, talent management suite and a recruiting software platform that came together in 2009. With the investment made with Bedford Funding, that's our primary investor, and Charles Jones is our chairman currently and was our CEO and president too, put those two companies together in 2009 and then shortly thereafter rebranded as PeopleFluent. So a full talent management suite from recruiting to performance succession, compensation, communications, analytics now, social collaboration, pervasive video, the list can go on and on, but it's integrated talent management suite, and we've also still got a fantastic standalone recruiting management system, which is also part of the PeopleFluent family. And in the past 2 years, there's been a few variety of acquisitions that we've kind of added to our list and baking those into the platform, and some are staying as a standalone, but we've got a great direction going right now with PeopleFluent. Besides the integrated talent management suite, we've got what we call our mirror applications that we're developing. It's kind of a central workspace that will integrate tightly with any of our products, the first of which is leadership development that we've released this year, and we're going to have a recruitment mirror coming later in Q1, probably in April. And this allows, it's for communication, collaboration, and video, lots of different, just the way that it kind of allows employees and managers to work in a much more conducive way and then still dive into the deep product suite that that we offer at PeopleFluent. And then there's also our data management integration service called Colossus that's coming out, and what I like to call the gateway drug, although we're probably not going to go to market with that term.
it's the crack cocaine of HR software.
Well, there you go, right? But I knew it would be appropriate for the show. But it's kind of the gateway drug for any and all of our products and anything in anybody's ecosystem. So that's kind of where we're at, you know. That's PeopleFluent has got a lot kicking and excited about 2014.
Two things, where in the market do you all play, size of company, geography, et cetera? And then the second thing, Brian and I both get asked this a lot around products versus suites. What's kind of the hottest for y'all? What do you see? It's here we are at the end of fourth quarter. What are you selling more of if you were to look down? Is it products and the discrete stuff, or is it suites? Like, what's the hottest, and where in the market do you play?
God, that's a great question. Well, first, on the market side, primarily on the enterprise level, so the bigger companies, 5,000, 10,000 and above in employee size and headcount, although there are, you know, many of our products, the recruitment management system as well as our social tech, social collaboration, and our analytics or publisher product, those play downstream. We're pretty much across industries. I mean, we're strong in financial services, and we're strong in tech, and we're strong in manufacturing, and the list just continues to grow. What we've seen, particularly in Q3 and Q4 of this year, is a movement to have much more of an integrated suite. I mean, many companies still have more than one vendor. I mean, that's just the reality of the industry, but they are consolidating. And so we're seeing customers that maybe have had one or two products, maybe they had recruiting, or they had compensation, which have been two of our, you know, strongest products for a long time, and they want more of the full suite. So they're adding, you know, performance, comp. We have learning that's fully integrated into our system now. They want to add that. Some of our big flagship clients are really looking for more of that integrated solution. Especially the cross between performance, succession, comp, and learning. That's been a big hot area.
Nice. What is, I know you think about this stuff year in and year out because you're a wonderful content producer, but, you know, for a lot of the times you're looking at this time of the year, you're looking backwards, like, what just happened in 2013? Like, what just happened? And you're also looking forward. You're looking by, you know, what is 2014? How's it going to shape out? What's some of the themes that we'll see? So I know that you're steeped in this stuff and thinking about this stuff. What do you put on your futurist hat? What's coming right around the corner in 2014 in the world of HR technology?
Well, I was going to say not in the world of HR tech, but the latest Rush concert DVDs coming out, like now. So that's number one I wanted to throw out there. I knew you guys would appreciate that. So, you know, gosh, we're going to see – what's that?
They still touring?
What's that, Brian?
Are they still touring? Is that like?
Oh my gosh, my friend! Yes. Oh yeah. I'll shoot you a copy of the DVD for Christmas. It'll be a good that. Put that with your eggnog and sugar cookies, and you'll be good to go for sure.
I'll put that in my pipe and smoke it. There's no doubt about it.
I think one of the exciting things that I mean this is. You know, this is not, I'm definitely not a soothsayer, but back in, early November, I was at a learning conference, Elliot Macy's learning conference. I don't know if either of you have ever been to one of those before. It was an amazing conference, number one. And we were there, of course, because of our mirror product, as well as talking about social collaboration and informal learning, continuous learning. All those things that we have been talking about for the past couple of years that will continue to be quite relevant and will grow in 2014. But that was one of the big themes out of this conference that I think we'll see a lot more of this next year is the whole idea of one size fits one when it comes to systems, when it comes to any system for that matter, especially learning and development and performance, that it's not about this you know, one system that's going to address all the needs of the workforce, the employees, the managers, the leadership teams. it's really truly about high configurability, and because everybody learns at their own pace, and you want to have systems in place, not only processes but also, you know, technological systems that allow for that kind of configurability and that reflects that user experience. I mean, you know, Will, you talked about this too a little bit in regards to on a lot of your adoption stuff, that everybody consumes differently, everybody learns at different speeds and produces at different speeds, and you want to adjust, be able to adjust accordingly. So that was a huge theme that I heard at the event, and I think we're going to see a lot more of that in 2014. And we've already got the whole MOOCs movement that's growing tremendously, lots of money being poured into that. We're skilling up on our own too, right? We as professionals, we do that already now. We go to these sites. Maybe we get it internally with our organizations too, but we're doing this stuff on our own. We're taking more ownership of it, and we're going to see a lot more of that, I think, in 2014 and beyond.
All right. Let me ask you, get your take on mobile. Y'all have wonderful mobile apps and been known to actually be really, really innovative in the world of mobile and delivering some of this technology. What do you see in mobile as it relates to HR technology? You know, because I know you're not just looking at the PeopleFluent stuff. You're looking at the market. You're looking at what other folks are doing.
Sure.
And what do you think, what's consumption like? So on the one end, I think we've gotten really good at delivering, you know, some of these applications via mobile. Well, how are people using mobile? I think is a question that a lot of people have.
So let me just share a little anecdote because it's from my own experience, but I think it's true more so for a lot of individuals at companies today. So recently, in fact, this is a story that I've told already on different capacities, but it was that same learning conference that I went to, but it was on the way there. I was on the airport shuttle. I'm on the shuttle. I'm the only person at this point of the trip, and the shuttle driver strikes up a conversation with me, and he starts talking about, you know, asking me what I do, and I said I work for a, you know, HR software company. He's like, oh, HR, I used to work in personnel. And which, you know, first got me to stop and go, oh, wow, that's fast. So we just started talking, and he told me about the time when he worked in the late 70s and early 80s at Polaroid. And at first he worked in part of the manufacturing line, which was to create, like, at the time, state-of-the-art shutterfly lens for the Polaroid cameras. And then he was promoted to personnel, which that's what it was called at the time. And he thought it was going to be this cush job. I think a lot of HR practitioners will appreciate this out there. He thought this was going to be this cush job. It's going to be lunches and playing golf and hanging out with the executive team. And it was a lot of hard work because he had to do all the recruiting for his division. He had to do all the processing, and there were no HR systems. There were no software. There weren't even really at the time that he recalls any legacy, you know, mainframes, anything. So everything was like paper forms. Everything was in triplicate that had to be signed. He had to scale some different shifts, graveyard shift and swing shift for these manufacturing lines, hundreds of employees in just a few months, and all himself. And he was a tremendous amount of work. And am I supposed to start singing now? I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. That's kind of where I was going to go with that.
Anyway, so I'll speed it up. So he tells this whole story, and just again, it was a lot of hard work. And he actually worked in personnel for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, something like that, that I recall telling me. And this whole time he's telling me the story, and I'm like listening and going, wow, I've got my Wi-Fi hotspot on. I'm on my iPad. I'm logging into our internal systems for work. I'm approving some expense reports. I'm checking some things and parts of our talent management system while he's driving me to the airport. So that whole contrast, to me, it answers part of your question, is that the way that we work and where we're at is it's just everything's accessible at any time these days. So I think we were a little early to the game on the mobile side, and that I think the rest of the world's starting to catch up, which is good. But I think we're going to see a lot more of those use cases with individuals, employees, as well as managers, to, regardless of where they're at, they can access their systems and do these things seamlessly. So I hope I answered part of your question.
Yep. Oh, no, you did really well. That was awesome. The bring your own device comes up a lot for Brian and I as we travel the planet talking HR, et cetera. What's, neither of us work for a technology firm, so what's bring your own device? How does that interact with PeopleFluent? How have you kind of seen the real-world implications of folks bringing their own technology to work?
You mean with our customers, our clients?
Right.
As well as ourselves, I think that we're seeing. I don't have any specific statistics for you, but I know many of our large flagship companies. Everything from JetBlue to McGraw-Hill, which is actually a new client, and many other organizations on that side. It's growing. Again, I don't have any specific statistics for you. But I think they're a lot more freer in allowing their employees to bring those devices. And some organizations are still actually passing that stuff out, too, now. They're actually giving, especially their sales teams and their business development teams and their account management teams and are actually getting those devices because it's helping them work much more productively. Regardless of where they're at and whatever their tasks and roles are. So again, I think the security's gotten a little bit tighter. I know that, and even in our own organization, I'm an Apple guy, I'm a Mac guy, and our system administrators, don't like them because they tell me that they're really much harder to lock down, but they can. And mine's locked down, and I think organizations are more freer to do that now, whether individuals are bringing them in or they're being assigned.
What's the questions that you're most recent or are getting a lot around big data and analytics? So like everybody else in the space, I'm sure, you're getting the same questions that we're getting, and you're getting questions that a lot of your peers are getting. What's what are the questions that HR practitioners are asking around, especially around analytics as a result of big data, if you will? And then what's y'all's approach to both analytics and big data?
So there's a great stat that we've been throwing around from Gartner Research that at least 35% of large and mid-sized organizations will be using what's called integration platform as a service offerings by 2016. Which is going to allow for cleaner data through any kind of software ecosystem. And I think it's one of those things that we've been talking about for a long time, that companies that have multiple systems in place, some are old legacy software, old databases, and they're trying to upgrade to newer systems, and they've got disparate data all over the place, and it's not aligned, and there's broken fields, and it's a headache. It's a big headache. And data management integration services aren't anything new. ETL services like that have been around for a while, but I think a lot of us in the space, in the HR software, talent management software space, and that's the Colossus product I referenced at the beginning, we're providing solutions like that so that we can and actually take ownership of the client's data in a secure way and help manage their integration feeds through not only the PeopleFluent systems, but any system, their HRIS, their ERP, their third-party data, and manage that on an ongoing basis and make sure that it stays clean and that it's integrated and it's coming in and out of different systems. And that's, I think, we're more at a reality now. And a lot of the other players in the space have different versions of this too. And I think we're getting better at articulating that the value and that we can actually do this today. I know that recently John Semser had a really good series about the realities of data management on his HR Examiner site, and I thought he still has, John is always really good at bringing reality checks to the space. But I do think that now companies can have a much more ongoing, clean data flow that also shortens, implementation time for new systems, allows for, cleaner communication on an ongoing basis. And this whole idea of managing talent data better, I don't even want to call it big data per se, but just the talent data so that they can not only see where they're at now, but start generating predictive insights as to what they need, where their skill sets, you know, what they need, and what they're going to need in 5 years, what their attrition rates are, what retention rates, and many other metrics and analytics. But it all goes back to, you know, really clearing up that headache that it kind of, when it comes to data management. I think that that is more of a reality than it's ever been today.
Nice. Kevin, let's change it up a little bit and talk a little bit about content generation. Let's talk TChat. Let's get into that.
Sure.
How are you closing out the year? What's going to kick off for 2014? Take us into that world.
So, sure. So we've got, it's been a great year for that as well. You know, we just celebrated our third anniversary for TChat, which we were very excited about. You know, we never would have thought that this little Twitter chat that we started back in, you know, November of 2010, actually the first show that we did was on emotional intelligence, and that's the show we're actually doing this week with our guest, Steve Gutzler, who's a leadership development expert and does a lot on emotional intelligence work, but we're actually going to do that today, later today on the show. But I never would have thought it would have grown like it did. I mean, you guys have been doing a daily show for a while. It's a lot of work, just to even do a weekly show for that matter. But it's exciting because I think that just as you are focused on, you know, the world of work as well as around the world of the HR practitioner for the most part, and you vary your guests and your topics. We do that same thing, and I think that's what helps to keep it fresh. And so after 3 years and doing our own radio show for about a year, and we're going to continue to expand in 2014, and we're going to probably experiment with some other mediums besides radio and the Twitter chat itself, and keep the topics coming and fresh and keep the guests coming and fresh, and having you guys on too, that would be actually a rocking idea. But so it's exciting. I mean, it's one of the things that I love so much, and you guys have got a great community too, it does become this networking learning community, and that's why they keep coming back. And we're told this again and again and again, that we learn something new every time. We meet somebody new every single time. And even if I come and go, depending on what the topics are in my schedule, I do always come back because of those aspects. And that's what we keep going and why we're excited to expand further in 2014.
Well, it's fun to see, you know, some of the folks that have been around for quite a while, because you see things ebb and flow and come and go as far as chats and shows and everything, and you guys built a great community, and it's fun to see that grow, and I can't wait to see 2014 and see where you kind of take a lab approach to some of the other mediums as far as like communicate or the conversation. Is there any room or point even to have any other Twitter chats or radio shows in the space? Is there enough already? Did they just stop?
They should just stop now. Just with ours. Just our two shows. That should be it. No more. I think there's always more specific kinds of chats that exist out there. There's recruitment-focused ones. There's leadership development-focused ones. Lots of career ones that exist as well. I know one medium that's getting explored further is, you know, more Google Hangouts that are Google Hangout chats that are streamed. That may be a place that we experiment too. But I think there's always room. If it's good content and I think that there's definitely room for more chats, but to sustain them over time and to keep the community coming back and growing, that's what makes or breaks shows like ours, because it's the amount of work that goes into that and the folks behind the scenes that play a role in that is huge. So you've got to be willing to make that investment and have the champions around you that help drive the shows. Otherwise, they will come and go.
Nice. Hey, Kevin, I got a question from the Twitters. It's about process and product. So in your vast experience, can you, the question's about basically where's the chicken and egg here. Can you put a superior product on a bad process and it still work out? Or can you put an inferior product on a great process and it work out? So what's, as you've explored the world, what's the relationship between these technology products that we love and the processes that practitioners build, re-engineer, engineer, tear down, et cetera? Like, what's the relationship between product and process?
Wow. It's kind of like contentious siblings that love one another but then beat the crap out of each other all the time, too. So, I mean, I think that, you know, recently I saw Jason Lauritzen speak, and he was talking about the archaic pillars of talent management that we've been playing to for many decades, and that, you know, since the early 50s, a lot of this, and the ways, again, that we work and that we learn and the way that productivity really flows, and there's much more of a fluidity to things. It's I think that this is why we're seeing systems evolve like ours and others in the space to be much more highly configurable to allow for those to adapt to those processes that are being experimented with now, finally. I mean, it takes a lot to turn these large ships around, but many of them are doing lots of different things internally and experimenting with more kind of, you know, especially when it comes to collaborating internally beyond just a simple intranet or portal, and to for disparate global teams, and how does that, you know, how do individuals come and go and share knowledge with one another, and the realities of what has already been happening in organizations, those kinds of processes are evolving, and systems that become highly configurable or kind of adapting to them. But I think it's an ongoing contentious relationship. I mean, clients are always, they're bringing to the table, I want to see these things, and systems are like, well, we can only do these things. But cloud computing and software as a service, and again, configurability have been huge to kind of quell some of those emotional outbursts, if that makes sense.
Totally does. Well, guess what, Kevin? We are out of time, my friend.
All right.
Time flies when you're having fun. So
yeah.
Tell everybody where they can connect with you, and then we're out.
So you can connect with me at kevin.grossman at peoplefluent.com. You can connect with me at Twitter at Kevin W. Grossman. And you can check out everything that we're doing at PeopleFluent at our site, as well as what we're doing with T-Chat at talentculture.com. And happy holidays to everybody, and a happy new year, and thank you both for having me on.
Perfect, man. Well, we will talk to you later, and guess what? We're going to roll out with a little bit of Rush.